I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Chucky's. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, and JP. Been talking to some Commanders this morning and the level of concern regarding Carson Wentz's play. To give us a little more insight, a guy who covers the Commanders there every day, Michael Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us on the BetQL Guest Hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Unlike Carson Wentz, accurate commentary coming your way right here.
Uh-oh, here it is.
Right off the bat. I love that.
All right, so what is your point of view in terms of level of concern? It is just training camp. You know, we always say that too when guys shine in the preseason. It's preseason, doesn't mean anything. But when it's kind of 2 weeks of this, people are starting to get a little worried. How do you see it?
Yeah, and you know, I think part of this is the number of enemies he's made along the way in Philly and Indianapolis. You think about, I mean, the Philly media right now, I don't think it's covering the Eagles. I think they've gone to 24/7. Holy cow, Carson Wentz is bad in D.C. And, you know, that's part of it is, he's got that reputation. People are looking for it. And there's the kernel of truth there. And the kernel of truth is he's been very inaccurate in a number of drills where you wouldn't expect an experienced quarterback to be very inaccurate. But it does sound like this is a routine event, that he did this in Philly, he did this in Indy, and certainly his regular season stats speak for themselves. He's been just fine in regular seasons, and you know, you just count on, hey, he's been in the league 7 years. He's going to put this together at the right time, but I can see why people are alarmed because we haven't seen this show before.
Do you think part of it is just that he hasn't really had time to build rapport with some of the most important parts of his receiving corps, namely Terry McLaurin, who was waiting to get his deal done? Is that the bigger part of it, or is it just, like you touched on, the fact that he does this in each training camp and then he just proceeds to get better as training camp goes along and getting closer to the regular season?
Yeah, and the good news is here, there's still a lot of time left before the first game. You think about, it's a 3 preseason game schedule now, so they got extra time baked into the whole thing. And Terry McLaurin shrugged it off the other day. He said, I'm going to put in the work I need to put into to get to where I need to be. And obviously, he's a consummate pro, so he's going to figure out whatever he needs to figure out. I think they have plenty of time to get it fixed, but you're absolutely right. He missed, you know, Terry was not there for the whole offseason program. They did their thing in California for a few days, but that's not a replacement for everyday work for a series of months. So I do think they've got some stuff to figure out, and I think they will figure it out. I think if nothing else, Terry will figure it out because he's a pro. But the other thing is, I think this offense is going to be built around taking a lot of deep shots, a lot of long balls this year. And so that's a tough one to practice because you don't want to, you know, blow out guys' hamstrings or anything, having them go full speed every day in practice, you know, flinging 40, 50-yard bombs. So we've seen them do it occasionally in practice, but I think that's something where, you know, they're going to really need to develop that feel and touch once we turn the corner to actual game week preparation.
Michael, I'm wondering, if you were talking to a Commanders fan who hasn't seen any training camp, hasn't seen any video, and they said, get me excited about Carson Wentz, tell me what looks great, what's going to be different from Taylor Heinicke? I mean, obviously you're mentioning the deep ball. What else could you say about him?
Carson Wentz just looks great. I mean, he is standing next to Taylor Heinicke. It's like a big brother, little brother kind of thing. You know, the ball leaves his hand as, oh, you know, that's how an NFL quarterback throws a football. It's a marked difference between the ball that comes out of Taylor Heinicke's hand and the ball that comes out of Carson Wentz's hand. He was born to do this. And, you know, it, inaccuracies aside, he can fling the ball downfield in a split second. His decision-making appears to be very quick, which could be a good thing if these offensive line, you know, injuries continue to linger. He was, especially at the scrimmage portion the other night at FedEx, you know, it was, hey, looking one way, looking the other way, decision, throw, and when the ball leaves his hand, it is in the receiver's hand a split second later. So all those kind of fundamental NFL quarterback things, he's got them all.
Michael, we know that Carson leaned a lot on tight end during his tenure in Philly, guys like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. So far here with the Commanders, he's had no Logan Thomas to rely on. We know that he was building something to Cole Turner, but now he's dinged up with a hammy. How much of that, the fact that the tight ends haven't had a huge role in training camp so far, maybe that plays into his struggles a bit?
Yeah, and you talk about the chemistry, obviously. I think a guy like Logan Thomas is going to be able to jump right in when it's time to jump right in. Thomas has the quarterback experience. You know, Carson has experience throwing to tight ends. I think they'll be good to go once they get good to go. The Cole Kelly injury is concerning just because, I mean, they had something going there through the first week and a half. Cole Kelly, 6'6", he got in the back of the end zone. He gave Carson that big target, and Carson was taking advantage of it. You could tell there was something there. You know, if Logan Thomas turns out to be, you know, out for the first 4 to 6 games, Cole Kelly's going to be your guy to circle on fantasy football waiver wire. Like, he's going to catch a touchdown or two along the way if he plays. Then you got Curtis Hodges, who's even taller, 6'8". Now, I'm not sure he's ready to go. I'm not sure he's ready for prime time. Same as Samus Reyes, though, another guy who's probably, you know, still maybe a year away from being there. But these injuries are forcing those guys into first-team reps, and they've got a real golden opportunity these next couple weeks to show a thing or two.
Talking to Michael Phillips, covers the Commanders for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. So one of the bigger storylines for this team is Chase Young. And when is he going to come back? What are your sources telling you? What could fans expect from Chase Young? Are we talking 4 games? Are we talking middle of the season? What do you expect?
Yeah, so the big option here is on cut day, where Ron Rivera's got to decide if he's going to put him on the 53-man roster or leave him off and leave him on that PUP list. Now, if he goes on the 53-man roster, he can, of course, play whenever he wants. They can leave him inactive. He could be ready, you know, as soon as week 2. I think it's more likely at this point that he goes on that PUP list, which means he has to miss the first 4 games. You know, and that's tough because you got a couple divisional games in there, Eagles, Cowboys right out of the gate. It's probably, though, not going to be like a catastrophic, you know, anything like that. We're seeing him out there. We're seeing him work out. I think he's making progress every day, but we haven't seen him kind of get closer to those football drills, those, you know, get in the trenches and run drills. So I at this point, with what I'm seeing, I think it's hard to think it's anything less than 4 games.
Michael, how much do you think Chase has been humbled by the injury? I remember a couple of off seasons ago, it might have been after his rookie campaign, where he had some very off-putting comments when people were asking him about his you know, commercials he was filming, if it was taken away from his being at OTAs, and comments about, well, I got to go make the money. And it was a little off-putting, but I know that this offseason, with him coming back from the injury, I've seen him doing a lot of like autograph signing. I think he was on the field like an hour plus after the practice at FedEx Field on Saturday night. Has this injury kind of brought him down a peg or two as far as like the way he interacts with people and his approach to the game?
Yeah, and he did a full circle around the FedEx Field, you know, did 100 yards each way of signing for fans, and then finally they had to take him out of there. So the ushers are trying to lock the place up. Let's get everybody out of here. So certainly a really cool gesture by Chase Young after that practice. You know, didn't get a chance to see him on the field, but fans got a chance to interact with him afterward, which is always very cool. I don't know that he's been humbled from a football sense. I think if you asked him, he'd still say he's a superstar, he's ready to shine. And that mentality is part of what makes those guys great. But even though, you know, this offseason, was it Ron told me at the Super Bowl, you know, he said, I think Chase was trying to be somebody he wasn't last year. And I ran that by Chase, and Chase kind of, nah, you know, he wasn't fully on board that. No, I'm going to be fine. Don't worry about me. That was an aberration. So I think we're still waiting to see, you know, what he's learned on the field in terms of what it takes to succeed as an NFL player over multiple years, where guys catch up to you, guys have the tape. But what's interesting about this injury is it to me, it's fully rebooted the expectations. You know, that this would normally be the contract negotiation year after year three here, where you'd come in and you start talking about a long-term deal. I just don't see any way that happens unless he's truly, you know, just a monstrous season coming back on that short season. I think it's far more likely this becomes, you know, a growing season for him and a developmental season for him. And this is going to come across the wrong way, but the bar for Chase Young is when he comes back on the field, he can't make the defense worse. He has to make the defense better. And, you know, that was part of it last year was when he got hurt, the defense got better the next week. The defense started dominating those next few weeks, and no defense is better without Chase Young on the field, obviously, but we all noticed that. We all noticed, like, what's going on here? You know, how is this unit playing better, more cohesive football without its best player? To me, that's what this season's about for him. He's got to show he can play inside that framework, improve the team, and then from there, you know, I think you look at a monster year potentially coming the next year for him, you know, when he gets back to full strength.
When he's out, is it Tuhill that's going to be starting or Smith-Williams?
Yeah, it'll be probably one of those two. I would guess Smith-Williams probably gets to run out of the tunnel as the starter. I'd be surprised if either of them play more than, you know, 50, 60% of the snaps. They're going to rotate those guys pretty regularly until they see somebody they like. We're all waiting for Shaka Toney to flash. Everybody loved that late-round pick. You know, you always want the late-round gem, undiscovered guy, didn't play a lot of snaps in college, kind of moved around positions, but freakish raw strength. You know, not on the Chase level, of course, but watching him in practice, he's clearly got a little extra something that the other guys don't have, hasn't quite put it together yet. He was hurt, missed the practice the other night. But James Smith-Williams is probably the most complete package at the moment, just in terms of a mix of the smarts, the strength, the size, all that. I would guess we'll see a lot of five defensive linemen early on, particularly in obvious run situations. I think they're going to try to get Fedarian Mathis, Jonathan Allen, and Deron Payne all on the field at the same time, you know, which may negate some of that off the edge, you know, disadvantage you lose with Smith-Williams or Tuhill. I will say Deron Payne is having a monster camp. He's just picking up dudes and mauling them. I think Jonathan Allen's laying a little low, but the other day, who's a new offensive lineman? Norwell. So they do their first one-on-one snaps, and Jonathan Allen just bulldozers Norwell. Like, welcome to the team, buddy. I'm Jonathan Allen. Here's how it's going to be. So those guys have been fun to watch.
He crushed him. Getting back to Carson, Michael, we talked about this early part of the show. And, you know, this is what the media does. This is what the fans do early in camp. They kind of overreact to a player, especially a quarterback, because they're the central figure. But how bad they are, how good they look. And this is what I said. Carson Wentz historically has been a guy who throws in the low 60s in terms of his completion percentage. His career is about 62%. He did have one outlier year where he was near 70, but most of those seasons are 62, 63, 64. I think that's what you're going to get with him. I think it's going to be a hit or miss type of a player week to week. But again, you know, I don't know how that translates. Because he could have a year like he had last year with 27 touchdowns and 7-8 picks, but still throw, you know, 61, 62% completion out there. And I'm not sure that gets you to the playoffs. Do you think he's got to show a significant improvement just in that statistic alone?
You know, I think you bring up two great points here. One is the completion percentage, and the other one is the touchdown to interception ratio. When he's been missing high, and he's been missing, I guess what you'd say, uncatchable territory, you know, not the kinds of misses that would lead to interceptions. So, yes, you're getting what you get with him. He's not going to be a 70% completion guy, but you also get what you get with him. I don't think he's going to be a guy who turns the ball over a lot. I think when he misses, he's going to miss with incompletions. He's not going to miss with interceptions, and that gives you another chance to get out there and do it. I've always thought all along, the best thing Carson Wentz has going for him, you know, one, the incredibly low standards we have for quarterbacks, having seen the parade of guys we've had coming through here the last 5 years. You think about what he had in Indy, he was following Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Philip Rivers, you know, like that's a fan base that knows what a quarterback looks like. I'm not sure we know anymore after what we've seen the last few years. I also think he's got so many good pieces around him. I'm excited about the running game, Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson. I think they're going to be good. I think the defense, you know, I don't know if they're going to be good, but I know they can't be bad. Like, this this town's going to have a full-on meltdown if a defense full of first-round picks and big-name free agent signings doesn't play well this year. I think they have to play well. You have those two things together. Carson Wentz doesn't have to take this team on his back. He doesn't have to lead dramatic two-minute drives. If he's average, if he's the 16th best quarterback in football this year, I think this team's going to make the playoffs. I think that's all they need of him is to kind of float in that middle range.
We're joined by Michael Phillips, covers the Commanders for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Give him a follow on Twitter, at MichaelPRTD. So my kryptonite, well, one of my many kryptonites, is overestimating Washington wideout catches for a season. Tell me why Jahan Dotson isn't going to catch 50-plus balls as a rookie. I think that's his floor, but maybe I'm crazy.
I'll give you the reason he's not going to, but I'm not going to disagree that we're all crazy excited watching him play every day. The kid was a great pick, but in practice, he is not getting jammed at the line of scrimmage. I got to think, if I'm a defensive coordinator, week one, game one, first month of the season, whoever I'm putting on that kid is shoving him at the line of scrimmage every single play, disrupting the timing, disrupting the route, trying to get in his head a little bit, because that's what he hasn't seen yet, really in his entire career. So how will he react to that? I don't know. I'm sure he is putting in the work to be ready for it. I don't think I'm giving out any state secrets here that, you know, that what you want to do to a guy is what he hasn't seen before. So I'm sure he'll be ready for that. But he's been a lot of fun to watch. He's got soft hands. He can catch almost anything. He's running clean routes. And I think the other thing you would be bullish on a catch total for him is this tight end situation. Like, I think Logan Thomas will take a lot of catches out of the room, so to speak, when he's healthy and out there playing. But if Logan Thomas goes to that pup list, I don't know if he will or not. You know, he's making progress. We'll find out soon enough. If he goes to that pup list, so that's four games without Logan Thomas. That's a lot of catches coming back into the wide receiver room, you know, which would help those guys in their numbers.
Well, you didn't say that Curtis Samuel was going to eat up all his catches.
All the side field catches. He's going to take them all.
Yeah.
No side field catches left.
All right, Michael, good stuff. Appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
Yep.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, Michael Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Yeah, did Curtis Samuel play on Saturday?
He was there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was active.
Still healthy. Still practicing.
He'll probably get a day off today during today's practice.
If it's part of the plan.
He was in the mix on Saturday night.
Coming up next, let's get back into it. Are you worried about these reports from Carson Wentz? You just heard Michael Phillips talk about his inconsistency issues. He does have that history of a low completion percentage, but he's missing passes in drills. He's missing practices in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. It's actually pretty consistent that each day out of training camp, you're hearing about Carson Wentz's struggles. Is this worrying you? Are you freaking out? 800-636-1067. Your call's next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.